Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
My spirit magnify the Lord. My soul praise His name. For death could not hold Him captive, even in the grave. He is Lord. Oh, for death could not hold Him captive, even in the grave. He is Lord. Can you sing it again? My spirit magnify the Lord. My soul praise His name.
My soul praise His name.
For death could not hold Him captive, even in the grave. He is Lord. For death could not hold Him captive, even in the grave. One I like. He paid the debt He did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never
pay. Can you sing it again? He paid the debt.
He paid.
He did not owe. Hallelujah.
I owe the debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Now I can sing.
Oh, yeah. A new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could.
Now let's end with this. He's alive.
He's alive. Amen. He's alive.
Oh yes.
Jesus.
Come on and wave your hands to Him.
He's alive.
Sing it again. He's alive. My Jesus. He's alive.
Oh. Jesus is alive. Forever He's alive.
Sing it one more time. He's alive.
Oh yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He's alive.
Jesus is alive. Forever.
One more time. One more time. Can I hear you sing? He's alive.
Amen. He's alive.
Oh yes.
Jesus is alive. Forever. He's alive.
Somebody shout a shout of victory.
Hallelujah.
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 He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
And that is why on a day like this, we declare that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The fantasy will say, Christ has sorrow. Why sorrow I'm back? And then what do the guns say? Christo eteshi. Eteshi lele. And then Ewe will say, Yesu efo. Efo. Hallelujah. And this morning, we join several millions across the globe to commemorate a very important, I dare say, the most important event on the Christian calendar and in the Christian faith, which is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want you to just take a minute or two and thank the Lord that he sent Jesus. That when he was sent, he came. That when he came, he did not redefine the mission and the assignment. But that what he was sent to do, he stayed with it. He stuck with it. And today, our salvation has been secured. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you to the Lord. And I appreciate him this morning. Hallelujah. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. You're worthy. We crown you King of Kings. We crown you Lord of Lords. For indeed, that is who you are. You confronted death and Hades. You faced head on the power of sin. And you came out victorious and triumphant over all these formidable enemies. And because of that great act, the most important act of history, here we stand today as your people, purchased by the blood of Jesus, washed and cleansed by that blood that will never lose its power. And this morning, we express our gratitude and our thanks to you. We are certain that you have a thing or two to say to us. This morning, help us to grasp what you will have us hear and appreciate on this very momentous day. I pray for everyone listening today. May all be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. And we want to read from verse 1 to 10. This is the account of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28 verse 1 to 10. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Somebody say with me, "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Say it again. "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Hallelujah. That means that his tomb is empty. If you go to Israel today, you will be taken, if you want to go there, to the tomb of Jesus, where he was laid to rest. There are many other religious figures associated with the different religions of the world whose tombs exist among us today. And when you go there, you will discover that their bodies are still in the tomb. But there is only one. I said, there is only one. I said, there is only one that I know who died, was buried, but he rose again from the dead. And so the angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." Hallelujah. And he predicted it. So the angel said, just as he said would happen. "Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, proved that he was alive. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Hallelujah. One more scripture, John chapter 14, verse 19. Let's read from the NIV version of the Bible.
Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And you will see me because I will live again. He was speaking to the disciples. And then he makes a statement to them, because I live, you also will live. Hallelujah. Because I live, you also will live. And this morning, I'm sharing a sermon with you. The title is Because He Lives. Because He Lives. Amen. There's a song like that. Is that not so? God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. So we sing, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, oh yes, all fear is gone. And now I know, yes I know, life is worth the living just because He lives. Can you put your hands together and sing it again? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh yes, because Christ lives, all fear is gone. Yes, I know He holds the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! Because He lives. Amen. It is one of the main pillars of the Christian faith. One of the major foundations of the faith we have subscribed to. Without which, Christianity will not be what it is. And it is that Jesus is alive. And that He was crucified, He died, He was buried, but He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And our faith hinges on this very important fundamental truth that Jesus lives. Tell your neighbor, He lives. And because He lives, you can face your tomorrow. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that Jesus lives has many implications for us. And I want to share four of those implications and then we close today's service. The first one that I want to draw your attention to is that because He lives, we can rest assured that God accepted His sacrifice and our sins have been forgiven. Because He lives, we can rest assured that God accepted His sacrifice and our sins have been forgiven. Did you get that? Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. then God made you alive with Christ. So Christ was resurrected. He was made alive. And we were made alive with him. And it explains, for he forgave all our sins. In other words, Christ's resurrection from the dead is the evidence and the sign that our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And in 1 John chapter 2 verse 12, the Bible says, I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. Amen. So because he lives, you and I can rest assured that God accepted his sacrifice and our sins have been forgiven. Because if God hadn't accepted Christ's sacrifice, he would not have resurrected from the dead. And it would have meant that you and I would still have been in our sins and would have had nothing else to look to except the frightening, terrifying judgment of God and eternal banishment to hell. But Christ is alive, and Christ was raised from the dead, and that becomes the sign and the evidence that our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, your plenty sins have all been forgiven. And the intriguing thing about it is that this arrangement is final. What it means is that your past sins, your present sins, your future sins, and I'm not saying this to give you a license to continue on a certain path. That's not the reason for this statement. It is just to point out to you that that sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I was final and total, and it settled the same problem for all of eternity. Which is why anytime you realize that you've missed it, that you got it wrong, that you've done something that you shouldn't have done, if your conscience pricks you and the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, all you got to do is to run to the mercy seat. And the Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Never be afraid to run back to God if you ever miss it. And you can go with confidence knowing that even the sin that you are going to talk to him about, it has already been forgiven. You are talking to him about it just to ensure that what has been done becomes a reality for you and I. Can I have an amen from somebody? So we can rest assured that God accepted his sacrifice and our sins have been forgiven. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand what I just said. So let's say you go to Hisense. Now they've opened a shop along our road. And you go there, you want to go and buy an electrical appliance. What appliance would you like to have for Easter? AC. Right. Yeah, just so then. Yeah. Alright. So before you go to the shop, you check out the price. I mean, if you're going to buy something and you don't know the price, I don't know how. So you check the price and they advertise it. All right? So you can go to their website. You find out the prices of all the different items that they have there. And you checked. And you wanted to buy a 1.4 horsepower Hisense air conditioner, which may cost about 4,500 Ghana cedis. But you've managed to put the money together, or the money is loaded on your card. So you walk to the shop, and then you see the shop attendants. Tell them that I want to buy one of the Hisense 1.5 horsepower air conditioners. And just to confirm, you ask them, Eyahe? She'll tell you, price in a bohono, 4,500 Ghana cedis. Which is how many billion? 45 billion old Ghana cedis. If people, some of you can really do the calculation very quickly. So they tell them that no problem, no problem. They do sat down and they say, oh, two no number because who can it be? So they show you the cashier, and you go there. You give the cashier the money, or you give the cashier your card, and then the money is sorted out. Now, once she checks and everything is okay, what does she do? She gives you what? She gives you a receipt. Now, that receipt is an important document. Some people don't like it, but you should always like a receipt because it may help you one day. Because the message of the receipt is that the AC has been paid for. So you see on the receipt, Elvis Kofi Aglowi. And then the date. And then the amount that he paid. The AC type. And then there's a code. All right. So there's a code also. Now, all of these things are captured on the receipt. And it conveys a simple message. It's been paid for. And so when you are going out of the shop, and the security man says, show me your receipt. And see that this is it. He will check and see that it's a 1.5 horsepower AC and it has Elvis Kofi Aglowi written on it and everything is correct. The good thing about it is that if within 5 years you have an issue with it, you can just go back to the shop. And when you're going, you got to go with your receipt to tell them, to prove that you actually bought it. I paid for the AC and it hasn't worked well. So I brought it back to you. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is your receipt that your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. That's what it means. The fact that he was raised from the dead is the sign, is the evidence, is the receipt that your sins have been forgiven. So as you move through this life, do not allow the devil to keep torturing you and tormenting you with all kinds of thoughts about things that you did that you shouldn't have done, about mistakes that were made. Understand that the Bible says if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus has never lost its power since it was shed more than 2,000 years ago. It can still reach to the highest mountain, and it still flows through the lowest valley. And nothing can wash away our sins except this precious blood of Jesus. Because that blood was spilled, and because of the efficacy of the blood, it means that the issue, the sin issue, has been sorted out. And you can move through this life with assurance, knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. Number two. Because he lives, we can be confident that we are now the people of God. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we can be confident that we are now the people of God. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Ephesians 2, 14 to 15. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility or the wall of enmity that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. It goes on and says, he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Now, once upon a time, when God looked at humanity, it was from two perspectives. All human beings were divided then into two main groups. Group one, the Jews, who are the descendants of Abraham in the flesh. They constitute group one. And then there was group two, referred to as the Gentiles, made up of everybody else who is not naturally a Jew. That was how it was once upon a time. One day God decided that he wanted to create a special group of people for himself. So he called a man named Abraham and said, come, I've chosen you. I just like you and I want to bless you. And out of you, all the nations of the world will be blessed one day. But I'm going to bless you and your descendants are going to be many. And they are going to be my own special people, a nation that I have consecrated to myself. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a right to choose whoever he wants to use because he's God and he's sovereign. Just as you have a choice, God also has a choice. Pastor James, what you're wearing today is because you chose to wear this one. Do you have other white garments? Actually, yesterday, you chose something else you were going to wear. And your wife said that you shan't wear it. And then she brought this one and said, this is what you have to wear. You didn't want problems. So you wore it. Yes. She's a powerful wife. On Shadown, and her own son. But she's a very powerful woman. Put your hands together for Mrs. James. A choice was made that this is what was going to be worn today. But there were other white garments. In fact, he's testifying that he chose something else which was rejected by Mama. Now, the ones who were not chosen, they can go and bend the sea. It doesn't change anything. Because what they wanted to choose has been chosen. And God has a choice. And he chose Abraham and raised out of him a special group of people, the nation of Israel. And he gave them his laws and his commandments. And he drew up a special covenant with them. That if you do this and this and this and this, I will bless you. As part of that covenant, he instituted an arrangement where bulls and sheep and goats will be brought as sacrifices, killed before him. The blood poured out on an altar, and then their sins will be sorted out. So in that time, there were just these two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. And you and I belong to group two, the Gentiles, who did not have a special arrangement with God. But the problem was that things did not go the way God wanted it to go. Because group one was very disobedient. They rebelled severally against God, stepped into idolatry, did all kinds of despicable things. And God was not happy with them at the point. So much so that the initial group of Jews who were taken out of Egypt, the land of bondage, on the journey to the promised land, that original group, all of them died in the wilderness except two, Joshua and Caleb. It was a journey that should have taken 11 days. It ended up taking 40 years. And it was all as a result of the attitude and the rebellion and the behavior of the people. And even though they saw the glory of God and the power of God, they were still very rebellious. And that arrangement to sort out their sins, it was like something that had to be repeated all the time. Because what it was that the blood of the bulls and the calves and the lambs, what that blood wasn't powerful enough to sort out the sin problem permanently. All it did was to cover it. But when something is covered, it doesn't mean that it is not there. And that was the problem. So there were just the Jews and the Gentiles. But God had a plan. Somebody say God had a plan. And his plan was that, no, I just don't want one group of people to be only my people. I want to give an opportunity for every human being on the face of the planet to become my child. I mean, how gracious can you get it? And the way to do that is to send my only begotten son, Jesus, to come die and to solve the sin problem once and for all. Not that you come and die this year, and the next year you come and die again, the next year you come and die again. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to die. He was provoked. He was annoyed several times, but he didn't stop the plan. My wife sent me a video. Some people were demonstrating the crucifixion of Jesus, and somebody was carrying a cross, and there were some people following. And I think somebody pushed his head or something. The guy bore. He dropped the cross, then turned and kicked the guy. Then when he finished, he went to carry the cross. And then he continued the journey. That's all. Look, there are some people, they don't tolerate nonsense. They don't tolerate nonsense. And Jesus could have decided, but he went through with it. And what he did was that there was a wall of enmity between the Jews. But now when Jesus died, he broke that wall of enmity. And by doing that, he was sending a clear message and a signal that now there isn't just one group of people that are special to me. But now there are everybody, whoever they are, wherever they are, they may be Caucasian, they may be black, they may be white, they may be yellow, they may be red, wherever they live, North Pole, South Pole, wherever they are, if they can only accept this gift of Jesus and his sacrifice, then they can become my special people. And that is why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 to 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Hallelujah. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's what it means. So the way you've been carrying yourself is not good. Because I read it out to you. Chosen generation. That's the group you've joined. How many have received Jesus as Lord and Savior? You know that you have received him. All right. So now, it is being described to you in these verses of scripture who you actually have become. And it's not an ordinary group. It's a special elite group that you have been included in. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Nobody may call you pastor, but you are a priest. Because he made you a king and a priest. That's why I have that expression, royal priesthood, combination of king and priest. Tell your neighbor, Messi minye ni patwa. A holy nation. Holy nation. That means set apart. And you did not set yourself apart. It is God who set you apart that now you belong to me. Why? Because you accepted what Jesus did for you. So now me too, I've accepted you. You accepted Jesus, my son? Then you belong to me. I've set you apart. Then his own special people, or a peculiar people. Special. Special. So I want you to understand that because he lives, you can be confident that you are now part of God's special people. And I need you to believe this with all your heart. You are not a nobody. You are not an insignificant worm working your way through this life. There is a certain dignity and nobility that must come into your life from this day. There is a way you must carry yourself as you move through this life. Because you are not an ordinary fellow. Not. You are not. Tell the person sitting by you, from today, I will not tolerate nonsense from you again. Tell the person, I didn't know before, but now I know. Hey, I will not tolerate any disrespect. Hey. Hallelujah. Because he lives, you can be confident that you are now part of the people of God. Amen. Number three. Because he lives, we can be certain that we have life and we will live. Amen. Because he lives, we can be certain that we have life and we will live. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth. John 5, 24. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Now, how do you have eternal life? When you believe the good news about Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Lord and Savior and you believe that God actually sent him, then you become saved. And once you become saved, it means that you have eternal life. And it goes on and says, they will never be condemned for their sins. Never. Now, never means what? Never. At no point can anybody bring up any charge against them because of that step that they've taken to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. But they have already passed from death into life. But they have already passed from death into life. Hallelujah. Then in John 14, verse 19, before long, NIV, again, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Jesus was talking to his disciples. Can you turn on the fans at the back for the benefit of those who are not in the direct? Now,
what was I saying?
I said what? John 14, 19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And I was saying that Jesus was talking to his disciples. Okay? He was talking to his disciples just before he went into his passion and before he went to the cross. But he was explaining to them that, but you will see me again, which means that I will live. I will come back. You will see me. The world will not see me. And then he says to them, because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. We can be certain that we have life and that we will live. Hallelujah. Why? Because he lives. May I take a little time and explain to you, my friend, that when we talk about life, with respect to the life that we have in Christ, there is the eternal life that is in the future, which is the life you step into when you die as a Christian. Your spirit comes out of your body and you transition into eternity and you enjoy that promise of eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, that eternal life, also called Zoe, is not just life awaiting you in the future. It is also life in the now. And that is what Jesus was referring to in John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Give me the New Living Translation, the last part. It says that the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a day. And I like the way you smile, Philip. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, which is simply a life of comfort, a life where things are working, a life of peace, a life of dignity, a life of joy. And I want to say to all of us, let's not become so fixated, and it's important that our minds stay on it, but don't let us lose sight of the fact that the eternal life that is ours through Christ Jesus is also supposed to benefit us whilst we are here. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Because you've heard me say many times before that we will get to heaven and it will pain us brutal when they show us a picture of what you were actually supposed to be that you never were. Why? Because you did not get that understanding of who you are in Christ and the life that is yours in him. Which is why one of the important prayers to pray all the time is that, Father, cause the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. Mamintumi entsimya mebiase. It's a tragedy. It's an error that we don't enjoy the benefits of Zoe and the benefits of our salvation whilst we are here. Which benefits include peace, joy, blessings, prosperity, good health. I mean, anything that you see as good, Jesus died for you to enjoy it. Was it not said to you that by his stripes we are healed? Was it not said to you that though he was rich, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich? Was it not said? So why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe it? Yesterday, I believe, I was checking out some stories and I came across a story that I'd read some time ago. Oh, it's a story of a guy. He was not well-to-do, an average person, who decided to go on a trip. In those times, they journey by ship, okay? And he needed to go somewhere. And he had to save for a long time to be able to buy the ticket for the journey. So he bought the ticket. It was time to go. And when he was going on the journey, he packed for himself some biscuits, some water, and maybe some shemima. Do you know shemima? So that he will be taking it small during the journey. Now, this was a journey that was going to take more than 3 weeks. And so he had to manage his stock of biscuits and water and shemima for the period. Now, what used to happen is that in the evenings, he would come out of his cabin and then go to the restaurant area on the ship. And you see people enjoying, eating, drinking, some were dancing. And they were having time. And he kept saying to himself, hey, sikabe do. Life can be nice. So then sadly, he would go back and go and continue with his biscuits and shemima. One day, maybe it was about 3 days or so to the end of the journey, the captain of the ship saw him and said, sir, I've not seen you in the dining area since we went on this ship. Is there a problem? Is it that you don't like the food? Has somebody offended you? Is there an issue? I said, oh no, I don't have money. I can't afford it. Captain said, what? He said, Papa, the ticket that you bought, everything there inside the ticket. And it was just 3 days left. I mean, you can imagine, but how much food can you eat? I'm sure he must have hit his head and said, hey, my young kwasia dear. The ticket was a total package. And it was a buffet throughout. It means that he could choose his choice. Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem with most of us Christians. There's a message that I'll be sharing with you very soon. The title of the message is, don't get used to it. Don't get used to it. Don't get used to the struggles. Don't get used to things not working. Don't get used to the problems. Don't get used to your failures. Don't get used to your struggles. Don't get used to it, because you'll be making a great mistake if you accept the things that you are going through as normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. But the enemy will always make you think that your struggle is part of spirituality. Look, I won't lie to you. The Christian experience said there is a suffering part. In this life, the Bible says we will have tribulations. It will be there. It is part of the arrangement. But that is life. And the fact that there will be tribulation does not mean that you can never enjoy some sweetness in your life. Aden, we alone, our life, tribulations all the time. Aden, tell your neighbor, Mabramao. It's enough. It's enough. So because he lives, there's a certain kind of life that has been put together and arranged for you. And today I adjure you by the mercies of God. Step into that life and give glory to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. From this day, Resurrection Sunday, your life will be filled with dignity. Your life will be filled with honor. There will be nobility attached to you. And I want to say to you, learn to move through life. Maybe some of the things that you are waiting to see, you haven't seen them yet. But they will come. But before they come, walk well. Handle yourself well. There's no money in your bank account, too. I know. No currency, say, come do. But have you not heard the scripture? For the joy set before him endured. Yeah. So anytime things are not looking a certain way, tell yourself that my time will come. That's what you should tell yourself. My time will come. And then move through life. Stop that thing that every time people see you say that, oh. Adai, are you okay? Is everything okay? No! From today, your face will no longer be like the Book of Lamentations. Hallelujah! Because he lives, you and I will live also. And I want you to believe God. You see, some of these things, when one is sharing them, you get a feeling that people don't believe. Yeah. That's why I said, pray that, oh God, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Help me to believe. Because sometimes you think you believe, but you don't really believe. And must also know that there are certain things that you must do in order to assess all those blessings and benefits that Calvary has brought to you. It's like you've been given a scholarship to go to Canada and continue your education. And it's a full scholarship. And it is worth tens of thousands of dollars. Did somebody say, I receive it? Yeah, receive it. You've received a letter. Your name is on it. You've been congratulated. And the package has been spelled out. It's worth so much. A lot of money. But the fact that you have the letter and all the information, it doesn't mean that you are going to benefit from the scholarship. But it is yours because it has your name. The document has your name. There are things that you have to do. If you don't have a passport, you got to go get a passport. Then you have to go to the Canadian embassy and process things. You would have to do a medical test. If you don't do these things, you will not benefit from the package. And that is our story. There are things, and the things that we are supposed to do are so little compared to the value of what is being presented to us. But that is where you see we don't believe, because you got to believe. It's one of the things that you need to do. You got to have faith. You need to confess positively. You need to work hard. You need to use wisdom. These are things that must be done in order to actually benefit and see a manifestation of every good thing that God has put together for you, so that our lives can be the very type of life that Jesus Christ died for. May the sacrifice of Jesus never be in vain, because we never enjoyed what we are supposed to enjoy. Hallelujah. Are you going to give me a little time to finish? All right. And the last one, actually, is the last one. Because he lives, we have the basis for our faith and hope. Because he lives, we have the basis. That means we have something to stand upon. We have the basis for our faith and hope because he lives. And that's very important. So the last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But the good news is, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Hallelujah. And all that this passage of scripture is explaining to us, that everything that we believe, everything that we are hoping for, it hinges on this fundamental, irrefutable truth that Jesus Christ lives and he's alive. Your faith and my faith, the hope you have and the hope that I have, it depends on this truth that Jesus lives. Without it, there is no basis for our faith and our hope. And what it means is that because he lives, we have something to lean on. And we are confident as we are leaning that the thing is not going to fall. So, Ajesh, see the way I'm leaning on this thing confidently. It hasn't even occurred to me for 1 second that this thing is going to fall. I feel very secure. I know that it will hold me because it is there. Now compare to this. Me now, as I'm doing this, I'm worried for myself. Because I know that this thing, I cannot lean on it. That is what the resurrection of Christ is to you and I. That's what our faith stands on. That's what our faith stands on. That because he lives, I got faith. I got hope. I believe that when I die, I'll make it to heaven. I believe that he will come again because he's alive. I believe that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I believe that because he lives, life is worth living, and I have a bright future ahead of me. That's what I lean on. That is my belief, because he lives. So because he lives, you and I have a basis for our faith and our hope. This morning, I've shared this message with you because he lives. And I pray that something has sunk deep into your heart and into your spirit to let you understand the implications of the resurrection of Christ for you and I. That number one, because he lives, we can rest assured that God has accepted his sacrifice and our sins have been forgiven. Number two, because he lives, you can be confident that I am part of the people of God. Number three, because he lives, you can be certain that you have life and that you will live, which means that you will enjoy that life of victory, which is actually what God has always had in mind for his people. And because Christ lives, that is the life that has been drawn up for you. And finally, because he lives, you and I have a basis for our faith and our hope. So you can confidently serve God knowing that there is no trick anywhere. That the one you have given your life to, he's alive. He's alive. And because he's alive, you can live also. This day, on Resurrection Day, may God himself help you to understand these things. And may it deepen your relationship with the Lord and your knowledge of him. Put your hands together, rise to your feet, and let us close. Lift your hands to Jesus.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And now I know, yes, I know, he holds the future. And life is worth the living trust, because he lives.
Every head head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe somebody invited you to church this morning. You've been touched by the word of God, and something has become very clear to you that you do not really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you have an opportunity to experience what most of us here have experienced, I believe. Jesus can become Lord and Savior of your life. I mean, what better day is there to give your heart to Jesus than today on Resurrection Sunday? And I want to pray with you today. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to Him. You can lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. God bless you. You want to give your heart to Jesus? You want to give your life to Him? Lift up your right hand very clearly wherever you are. Don't hesitate. Don't think about anything. Don't feel that there's a trick. There's no trick anywhere. You can lift that hand up. God bless you. I see your hands. And you're watching me, my friend. Maybe you're watching this live streaming, or somewhere, somehow you stumbled on this broadcast along the line, and I'm speaking to you right now. I can't see you. I don't know where you are. I don't even know who you are. But there's a God who sees, and He can see you right where you are. And He's looking for you. He wants you to surrender your life to Him. You can do so today and experience the fulfilled life, the rich and satisfying life, which is His package for all His people. You can lift your hand wherever you are. And now those who have lifted their hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and let everybody join in as a way of encouraging them. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to You just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am Yours and You are mine. I will serve You. I will live for You. I believe in You, Jesus, that You came to pay the price for my sins, that You were crucified, that You died, that You were buried, but on the third day You rose from the dead, and You are alive forevermore. I believe in You, Jesus, and I claim You as my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Redeemer. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank You, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.